So this morning, we're looking at part four of a five-part series on who am I for God's sake? I mean, who am I for heaven's sake? Who am I for heaven's sake? I believe it is vital for we as Christians to know who we are. Because of oftentimes we have a misguided understanding of who we are, and we believe ourselves to be. It's not, honestly, it's not natural for me to believe that I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a priest of the Most High. It's hard to believe sometimes that I'm precious to Him, and I'm special to Him, that I've been chosen and accepted, redeemed, and an heir of heavenly blessings. And that's just a snippet of all that God has said. We just sang a song a while ago, I am who God says I am. Not who anyone says else says I am. Not even sometimes who we believe ourselves to be, unless it lines up with God's word. We are who God says we are, and we need to receive that and believe that. So how does it make you feel to know that you are chosen and accepted and appointed by God for His kingdom? How does that make you feel? Okay, gives a person confidence. I heard amazing. Blessed. You know, we hear that in our head, but sometimes it's hard for it to kind of drop down into our heart. Sort of uncomfortable. What'd you say? Humbling. Yeah. We don't deserve that. You know, if we just took those words and just began to meditate on them and began to allow those things to sink down into our heart, I think it would change who we are. We act out on who we believe we are. And if we begin to believe we are who God says we are, we would begin to act out the characteristics of Christ that is already within us. Sometimes we speak those words, and I preach, and sometimes I wonder if things just kind of slip through our minds and it never sinks into our heart. And what I would like for us to understand and for what I would like to happen is that as you hear these things, that it would not only just get into your mind, but it would get into your heart as well. Could I pray for you for that end? All right. So Father, I come for you, and sometimes, and I confess myself, that it's hard sometimes to wrap my head around all that you say I am. Lord, it's hard to walk in it, but God, I know, I'm beginning to understand, not just in my head, but in my heart, that this is a reality. It's not just a hope that one day I will get there, but this is a reality for now. And God, I pray that that would happen for all of us here today. That, Lord, the moments that we've had about who we have thought we were, who someone has said we are, or even who we feel we may be, would just be moved from us so that we could experience in our heart who you say we are. Lord, take away and remove the lies from our heart that have encapsulated us for so long. Lord, begin to infect us with these holy things that you have determined for us. And this we pray in Jesus' holy and wonderful and marvelous name. Amen. So we're going to look again at Ephesians chapter 1. If you've noticed, there's a lot of things in Ephesians chapter 1 that describes us as children of God. And I want us to look again at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick up with verse 3 again, because that is kind of the heading for everything else that falls under. And then we're going to read verses 13 and 14. So if you would, stand for the reading of God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's a lot. In Him, verse 13, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Amen. You may be seated. So according to this passage of Scripture, when did the seal of the Holy Spirit become a reality in your life? At the moment, at the very moment you trusted in Jesus Christ, at the very moment you turned from your sin, and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture says you were sealed at that moment with the Holy Spirit. Now here's, I want you to hear this. The Holy Spirit is what makes a Christian different than any other person on earth. Okay? Now, when I was growing up in a church in southern Mississippi, the Holy Spirit was not talked a lot about in the denomination that I grew up in. We didn't hear a lot about Him. We heard a lot about Jesus Christ. We heard a lot about God the Father, but we didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is just as important as Jesus Christ and God the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be missing a lot of things in our Christian lives. Man, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life and makes it possible for us to connect with the Father. Without Holy Spirit, we would not be able to connect with the Father. Holy Spirit gives us the gifts. And every one of God's children have those gifts. After this series, which I think will end next week, we're going to be talking about what are you doing for heaven's sake? And we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And hopefully, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, by the end of that series, you will not only know what it is, but you will be utilizing it for his glory and for His grace. Okay? I tell you, there's nothing more joyful than being able to work in this gift that God has given you, experiencing the Holy Spirit working through you, touching the hearts and lives of other people. There's nothing more joyful than that. There's nothing more joyful than allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to share the gospel message and see people come into the kingdom. There's nothing more joyful than that. There's nothing more joyful than teach children the things of God and they get it and begin to walk in it. Man, it's amazing. I can't describe the joy that comes by serving the Lord under the power of the Holy Spirit. But you need to know who you are in Christ before you can walk out the work of Christ. Because did you know that you can do the works of Jesus in the flesh? You can do good works in the flesh, but it really doesn't amount to a lot. But when you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit and you're obedient to Him, there's something that's just that's supernatural that takes place. And so what I hope you get out of this series is that you understand who you are, and you can accomplish, because of who you are, you can accomplish anything God tells you to do because of what Christ has put in you. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring truth to our life. Holy Spirit wants to bring life to our lives. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is empowers us to live a Christ-like life that we were unable to live before Holy Spirit came into our life. We cannot live that life without Holy Spirit. It's impossible. This morning, one of the things I wanted to do is to pray for Rena and Cindy, and because they're going to be taking on a ministry that we've never done here before. And we wanted to pray that the Holy Spirit would be with them and encourage them, lead them, and guide them. I know He's already doing that, but there's something about laying on of hands and anointing and empowering a person for service. Cindy's not here today, and the reason is Rick was exposed to the coronavirus. But he has not has any symptoms whatsoever. But she called me and asked me, should I come? And I said, why don't you just stay home? And so next week, we will pray for you, ladies. Okay? Lord willing, and everybody shows up, that's what we will do. So, Scripture says in verse 13, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? A seal is a sign of authenticity. When you want a document authenticated, you will find a notary to place their seal on the document. When that seal is placed on the document, that is proof positive that that document is accurate, that a document is authentic. When Holy Spirit seals you, it is a seal that of a proof that you belong to God. That's one of the reasons a Christian is different than any other person is because the Holy Spirit is a seal of approval that God has redeemed you, that He has chosen you, that you are now adopted into His kingdom. In ancient times, a king, if he put forth an edict or document, he would fold that document and he would put a wax, melted wax on it, and then put his seal on that document, which was an authentication that it was from the king. And that the laws or rules or whatever document it contained could not be changed in any form. And so when the Holy Spirit seals us, it's an authentication of God's sovereignty upon our lives, and we are a child of His. This, again, it happened at the moment you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You became a purchased possession of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, do you not know that you're not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's no longer our own. It's God's. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He gives us now not only the privilege, but the power to live with the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. Do I always get it right? No. I have to apologize daily, if not hourly. But at least I know the difference between right and wrong, and this week was better than last week. And this month was better than last month. Okay, because there's something, Holy Spirit in our lives begins to do something in us that we can't do for ourselves. Matter of fact, He does something in us we didn't probably want to do for ourselves. He begins to change us from the inside out. So one of the things we find is that the Holy Spirit is a down payment for what will later be redeemed in full. This seal of the Holy Spirit assures us that what Father has purchased, He will redeem. Perhaps there was a time when you put a down payment on your home. Now, the reason you put that down payment on the home was not so that you could just walk away from the home, but so that you could eventually purchase it for your home that you're going to abide in. You were looking forward to the time when you would take possession of that new home. And finally, the day came when you took complete possession of the home and you began to move into it. You began to move all your stuff into it. And if it was a remodel, you began to take out the rot. You began to take out the powder post beetles. You began to things because it was now your home. I moved into my home, my wife and I, in 1993. We've been remodeling that house 27, 28 years. An intensive remodel. I gave my life to Christ in about 1979 or 1980. And did you know He's been remodeling ever since He moved in? It's an intensive work. And He's not finished yet. He's still working on this house. And just as Jesus purchased us to live with Him forever in heaven, others have been purchased. Some this from our congregation this last year. Debbie, Gary Gross, Keith, they were purchased. Now they have been able to experience everything that God has in store for them. Isn't that incredible? And one day you and I will be able to experience that as well. The third thing is the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that what is purchased is an eternal contract. So, how many of you have ever bought a home? Did you ever have to put down earnest money? Okay. So let's just say you had to put down $10,000 earnest. And let's just say that it took a while for all of the contracts and everything to be written up. And you determine, well, I really don't want that home. I found something I like better. But what's going to happen to the $10,000? Yeah. You swallow hard, cough big, but you say goodbye to the $10,000. The Holy Spirit is earnest. Scripture says He's an earnest for our expectation. Okay? I don't know how you get around that. I don't know how you get around if the Holy Spirit is our expectation and He's the earnest of our inheritance. If Jesus decides to move away, what happens to Holy Spirit? I have a hard time with some ideas of the Holy Spirit leaves and then comes back and then leaves and then comes back and leaves and comes back. That's not what I understand Scripture to say. Okay? So if He's an earnest of our inheritance, if you're putting down earnest money on a home, I guarantee you, if I put down $10,000 on a home, I'm going to go after that home. Okay. I'm not going to just let that $10,000 go to waste. I don't have that kind of money just to throw away. Okay. Whether it be $100,000, $10,000, or $3, I don't have that kind of money to throw away. Right. And the Holy Spirit is not going to be thrown away by God the Father just because we mess up sometimes. The work, the Holy Spirit is continually at work in our lives, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Number four, Holy Spirit made his home in you. Again, I will say, the Holy Spirit doesn't move in and out. Every time you sin, he doesn't move away. Then you repent and he comes back. Now, what does happen is that when we do sin, we break that communication with him. We break that fellowship with him, but we don't break the relationship because we've been adopted. Have you ever had a rebellious child? Does the rebellion break the fellowship? Does it break the relationship? If you've had a rebellious child, you know what it does to your heart. It tears you apart. And that's what it happens to Father. It tears him apart. It doesn't destroy the relationship. It destroys the fellowship. And so every time we sin as children of God, I would implore you to do like I do and just say, God, forgive me. I messed up again. Lord, forgive me. Help me. I don't want to do that again. Restore that relationship. Restore that fellowship that we once had. You remember David prayed, Lord, forgive me. In Psalm chapter 53, is against you and you only have I sinned. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And Father did. When he took responsibility for his actions, Holy Spirit motivates us to do what's right. If we choose not to do what is right, how many of you have ever, as a child of God, ever walked in sin? How'd that make you feel? Like dirt, miserable. You know, that's the Holy Spirit within us making us miserable. Oh, God wouldn't make us miserable. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he will. For the purpose of bringing us back. And then when you chose to turn from your rebellion and ask God to forgive you, that fellowship was restored and the misery went away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And God is working. When we sin, God is showing us there's something within us that he's still working on and still remodeling and getting rid of. Okay. And we need to begin to, not only when we get rid of it, those things, we also need to start putting holy, healthy things back in our lives. He motivates us to do what's right. It's an eternal guarantee. So Jesus bought us by his blood. And when we receive the offer of grace upon our lives, the Holy Spirit moved in. Not only to secure the possession, but to begin the remodel project. I want you to look at these passages with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Scripture says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And then 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, so in the Old Testament, there was Solomon made a temple. And when Solomon had this temple made, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit came and filled that temple. This passage Scripture says that we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the house that God lives in. Isn't that crazy? We're the house that God lives in, so therefore we ought to make His house something that He's pleased with. And anything that would cause Him grief in our house, we need to repent and turn from those things, so those things that would not any longer cause Him grief. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. That Almighty God lives within each of us. I was visiting a couple this week who had a friend over. They wanted me to meet their friend, Philip. And as I was listening to Philip, there were three words it was a takeaway for me. Okay. One was, and I don't know that he used these words, he talked in a different language than I'm used to hearing. And so, these are takeaway. These are my words. I don't know that they're his words. But when he was speaking, you know, I have to interpret things into my language that I can connect with. So, one of the words was connectivity. So it's the Holy Spirit who allows us to connect with the Father. And we as children of God can experience this connectivity when we pray, when we read God's Word, when we set our minds on Him, when we're going throughout our day, when we're fellowshipping with other believers. Okay? And so, connecting with the Father is very important for us. And that is done through the Holy Spirit. The second word that I took away was the word awareness. We need to be aware at all times of His presence. We need to feel Him in our heart. And when we do not feel Him in our heart, we need to get in a place where we can begin to experience that feeling. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Because sometimes I feel Him, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm busy fixing right on my house, busy doing work around the church, busy, but I'm not sometimes aware of the connectivity. And also sometimes I'm not aware that there's been a disconnect because I haven't paid attention to my heart. Okay? And so one of the things that he was encouraging was to be aware of what's going on in your heart. Because that's where the Holy Spirit resides. A third word was nurture. So some of you have been walking with the Lord for a great length of time, and you experience Him to a greater depth than others of you do. And I would encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, that when you feel the Holy Spirit, and for some people that's peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. For some people, it's joy. For some people, it's love. And when you experience that, you need to nurture it. That's the third word, is nurture. You need to nurture it so that you can get used to feeling it, so that you can get used to walking in it, so that you can get used to continually being connected to that. Nurture that in your heart. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions? I mean, I know this is not normally a question and answer, but I really need you to get this. How do you nurture that? So when you feel that, then I would say start thanking the Lord for it. Thank you that He has revealed Himself to you. And began to, the word Philip used was, don't be distracted in your mind. Don't be distracted in your mind. Stay on track with the Lord. It's easy to get distracted in your mind. Okay. And I asked him a question, how can you continually be mindful of the Lord? Because, you know, there's life that happens. Okay. And, you know, his response was that it's just being aware. Just being aware and continuing to pursue after Him. Did that help you? Okay. So the question was, how do you nurture that? So for that, for those on Zoom that did not hear the question, that was the question. So, and one of the things, and I and Philip didn't say that, this is me. One of the ways that you nurture that is be obedient. Obedience is huge. Oh, we have a church of normally about 70 people when everybody's kind of gathered. We have more people than that. But when the Lord says, build a school, the church says, yes, Lord, we'll build a church school. Okay? That's nurturing. That's obedience. That's doing what Father says to do. When the Spirit says to you, go talk to your neighbor about Christ, you obey and you nurture that. Obedience is key for a child of God to begin to. So that's another area of walking in faith. Dan Willis, a police officer in La Mesa, California, near San Diego, shares in a book, A Strange Gift. He says, faith must be cultivated. Only through nurture and practice does faith have a place in our lives. Okay. So practice the presence of the Lord, practice walking in the Spirit, practice continuing to keep that channel open, aware of His work in our lives, and not only aware of His work in His life, but also aware of when you become disconnected. Scripture says that this is the Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 13, again, it says the Holy Spirit of promise. Where were the promises of the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus made two promises. More than that, but I'm just going to call your attention to two. In John 14, 25 through 26, it says, these things I have spoken to you, being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus also said in John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. So these are promises of Jesus Christ that He's going to send the Holy Spirit to help us to do His work for His glory. In the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I dream dreams sometimes. I'm not a young man anymore. I don't see visions. I see dreams. And God says that that's what the Holy Spirit does. He will pour it out on our children, upon ourselves. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And we could spend weeks on the Holy Spirit because there's much, much more that could be shared. But we want to get to the gifts, and so I'm not going to continue in this. We've preached regarding the Holy Spirit before. So if you've received Christ, not if you've prayed a prayer, not if you've been baptized, but if you've received Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And this morning, you may be here, and you can't sense the Holy Spirit. You've never sensed the Holy Spirit working in your life. You've never experienced the love of Christ. You never experienced the peace of the Lord. It very well could be that you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, although you may have prayed a prayer. And although you may have been baptized. I prayed the prayer probably 1,000 times. Okay? But it wasn't until I was about 22 years old that the Holy Spirit, I knew that I was a child of God because the Holy Spirit revealed that to me when I repented of my sin and turned my life over. Praying a prayer, it's important. It's more of the attitude of the heart than it is the words of the mouth. If you're here today without Christ, would you give your life to Him? Let Him give you the Spirit, securing you for eternal place in heaven. And this morning, you as a Christian may be disconnected. You may have been disconnected for 20 years. You may have been disconnected for a month. Or an hour. Would you reconnect with Him today? We're going to have a time of invitation. If you need to come here to the altar and pray, then I invite you to do that. If you want to pray for me to pray with you or meet with you or help you in any way, I'm here at the front to do that. Others are here. If you need prayer for healing, we've got people who can do that. Whatever you need today, let the Lord work in your life. Father, we come before you, give you praise and glory and honor for all that you do, all that you've done. And Lord, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that works so diligently in our lives. And Lord, He never gives up. He never gives up on us. And so thank you. And Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way in our lives today as we yield to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's